Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. In studio today, we have all three county commissioners. We'll get to them in just a moment. But first of all, I want to remind you that we'll take your phone calls after the top of the hour. Phone number to call, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your comment or question directly to our guest today. Once again, County Commissioners John West, Herman Barchager, and Dan DeYoung, all in studio today. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. And on a welcome rainy day, or at least seeing a rainy day go by here, over an inch of rain yesterday.
Yeah, hopefully we can say goodbye to the smoke for the year.
Oh, well, let's cross our fingers and hope we do. At any rate, gentlemen, welcome. Let's get right down to business this morning. Okay, I have two words for the first question, and I think you all probably know what it is, and that's flying lark. Where do we stand here?
The flying lark, it's being listed, and we'll see if we have any takers.
Okay, so the recent news about the paperwork not being ready, that was just creating the listing for the building itself?
In last week's business session.
All right. That was, pardon me, let's correct that. That was for area around the Flying Lark.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Off Pansy Lane there.
Right. We're acquiring two lots that is contiguous to the Flying Lark.
All right. Are those for sale? Is that the same situation that we're looking at for
a
sale?
Well, they could be for sale. They complement the fairgrounds, and they also complement the Flying Lark. So there's a lot of flexibility in that.
Okay. What would you like to see? Wave your magic wand.
Money.
Money. Lots of it. Okay. Generally, what are we listing the Lark at? Do we have a number yet, or are we still working with the realtor?
$14,900,000.
That's a bargain.
Depends on who you are.
Yeah,
well, I suppose, yeah.
I mean, if you want to look at what Travis has invested in that, you bet it's a bargain. Mm-hmm. But what is it? It's a very purpose-built building, and people need to understand that. If you were to say, okay, I want to build that building, but I don't want to build it like Travis built it, I just want to build a building that I could use, it's going to come in at somewhere around there.
Okay. All right.
So, it's a beautiful building and purpose-built. And, my wish would be that Travis Boersma would have been able to realize his wish and his ambition. But that didn't happen.
All right. And we won't thank anybody in particular. We'll just look north.
No.
Do we anticipate how long it will take for sale? Is that just a big question mark right now? It depends on who's out there.
It's a big sale, and we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. So we tried. We were working with several groups on coming to an agreement. We didn't accomplish that goal, so now it's listed, and we'll see what happens.
All right. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the Flying Lark and hope something comes at that relatively soon. In the meantime, let's see. Commissioners have held, since the last time we talked, a fire district meeting. Talking about bringing fire protection to areas that are not covered right now here in Josephine County. Gentlemen, how did that go? What was your feedback? What's the procedure? What's next in that process?
Well, we had what we call listening session, and we did some listening. So we had close to 100 people show up. A lot of those people were from the different fire services in Southern Oregon, including Rural Metro. And then we had some people that just wanted to come and give a gaffe to the commissioners just because it's a good opportunity to give a gaffe. And then we did have some people that had some really good questions, was very concerned about the cost, discussion, should there be more than one district, should there be two? Somebody said the commissioners want five. That's not true at all. Well, we don't know what we want. We want whatever the people come up with. This has got to be grassroots driven. And coming away from that, I don't know if we have an absolute takeaway from it, Chuck. I think there's more discussion. It was obviously a lot of people are confused of the process and how much it cost and what level of services. So it's a very complicated discussion. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. I think that's where we're at.
Do we have any answers to those questions in terms of cost or how many we're really talking about?
Not specific, because the cost is a you know, it's a dynamic question. It depends what services you want. You know, if you want services like you have in the city of Grants Pass, then you're going to have a very high cost. If you want just basic services that somebody will, you know, come and help you out if your house is on fire, that's a different issue. I mean, you look around to Douglas County. Douglas County has a lot of different fire districts, and some have a higher cost and some have a very low cost. So those are the discussions. And like I said, I don't think we have any kind of consensus coming out of that meeting. We did take a poll on how many people want one fire district, how many people want two fire districts, and the one fire district had the most hands, of course. But I don't think people realize, even after we finally come to an agreement of what the fire district slash districts look like, there's still going to be people that aren't covered. There's people out in Cave Junction that aren't covered under that fire district. So there's people that live in remote areas of Josephine County that will never be covered under a fire district.
Right. You said we need more work on that. We need more listening. Is that going to be happening? Have you scheduled another meeting?
No, we haven't scheduled any meetings yet, and so we're working on that.
All right.
I would really like it to see. I'd like to see it be a grassroots effort, because at the end of the day, you're going to have something on the ballot that somebody's going to have to vote yes or vote no. And if you don't get it right and they vote no, then it's just another lost opportunity and a lot of lost time and effort. So you have to get it right before you get it on the ballot.
So you'd really like to see this taken out of the commissioner's hands and it come up from the people?
I think that's how all fire districts are. If you look across this country, fire districts, rural fire departments, even in small municipalities across this country, they're all citizen-driven. There are a lot of volunteer firefighters, raise money for your local fire department, stuff like that. And so this is local government at its best. This is where the people get to choose what they want, what level of service, and how much they're going to pay. It's not like at the federal level or the state level where they dictate how much you're going to pay for different things. This local government, this is as good as it gets.
All right. You said that there were several people there, a good number of people there, who were really interested and had questions. Do you see a group forming out of that core?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. All right, gentlemen, we'll move on unless you have any other comments, John.
The citizens have to decide whether they like what they have, which is a subscription base. So just because we're talking about a fire district doesn't mean that that's going to happen. The citizens, I heard from some citizens there that said, Why do we need a fire district? I'm happy with what I'm paying and my subscription. So you've got a mixed bag there. And as far as speaking for me as a commissioner, I'm not going to do what the city did with Dollar Mountain and go off 26 people wants a hiking trail, and then I'm going to go with that. I need to hear from more citizens in that area before I ever entertain what direction I vote to, you know, for the citizens. I want to hear from more than just, you know, because you take that 100 people made up of fire departments, and so you knock that number down. It wasn't as big of citizen, and I'm with the commissioner here. We need to hear from more citizens. It needs to be citizen driven. They need to speak, because if they don't and it goes out to vote, they'll vote with their pocketbook if it's not relayed correctly, and this thing will die on the vine, and it'll be for nothing.
I realize that there's probably no hard answer to my next question, but generally speaking, is a fire district, and it depends on the level of that you want in that fire district, is that going to be less than my subscription services generally? Is that the way it seems to have played out throughout the state?
I don't think we can answer that question, because we don't have a consensus on how much it's going to cost. We have to be mindful that if you look at the average income in Josephine County, it's a little under $30,000. So somebody with a $250,000 home, if it's $1, $2, or $3, whatever, you extrapolate those numbers, that becomes a lot of money for a low-income person.
Okay. All right.
And we had a fire district on the ballot, had a number of what it was going to be, and so on and so forth, and it failed. And so when you ask us, what are you commissioners going to do? I think I've got to agree with the other two. We're going to kick that ball back on to the citizens. And when Herman says grassroots, he means citizen-driven, just like you said. And this needs to be customized to the citizen. And the citizen that lives in Wilderville, you know, he may have different view of what a fire district should look like in his area versus the ones that live in Colonial Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're right. Right now, presently, there's subscribers. And I said, I'm happy the way I am. And when we did the fire district before, it was less than the subscription price, and it still fell. So, we, as all three of us, and before John was on board, still scratching our head, have no idea what the citizens want. And that's why the commissioner put together this thing and got... Did you get any answers, gentlemen? I wasn't there.
Just more
and
questions.
It doesn't sound like it.
Just more questions.
Just more questions. So this is a tough one for us as the Board of County Commissioners. But, you know, if we, our obligation is to the unprotected zones of Josephine County. What do they want and how do they want to do it?
There was a group of people there that were advocates of the last fire district on the ballot, and they kind of attacked the commissioners, blamed us for failing, and the blame game. And at the end of the day, they don't understand making public policy. If you don't have the votes, you don't have the votes. Yeah. And yet they were still chastising us and saying we need to just put it back on the ballot. And I'm just shaking my head. If it was voted down before, what's changed? And they don't care. They just want to do it. And when you know what's a surprising thing, though? When I asked one gentleman who's a big advocate, I said, how long have you been in Josephine County? Oh, about 6 years.
That long.
So he doesn't have much history of what happens on the ballot.
All right. All of that being said, next step, we have no next step planned at this point.
Not at this time.
All right. One final question. We'll leave this one alone. You said the subscription services were in attendance to the meeting too. Did they have any feedback or any information to share?
We had some chiefs from some of the other fire districts that had some comments. One of them, we need more than one district. Just kind of general comments of... we acknowledge the fact it's getting harder and harder to get volunteer firefighters for two reasons. One, it's harder to get anybody to volunteer for anything in this day and age. And two, we've made it so difficult with the training requirements that a lot of people that want to volunteer just go, well, I'm not doing that.
I don't have the time to do all that training.
So because of the insurance requirements and the training requirements, I think that, and also the generation that we're dealing with now, we are having less and less people stepping up to the plate and volunteering, unfortunately.
All right. Well, that's one we'll keep an eye on. Since we're in the midst of fire season, and yes, fire season does continue, folks. It is not over with in spite of the rains, but we've all got our fingers crossed that we're in a lot better shape than we were 2 weeks ago. So all that being said, let's move on. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, and we'll be back after this word. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. County Commissioners in studio here. Already have broached a couple of topics. Coming up in May, I believe, we have an opportunity to change the way county government operates. I'd like to just hear what your thoughts on that right now. We're talking about part-time commissioners, five of them, and a professional manager. Any thoughts on that particular situation? All right, Dan, jump in there.
Okay, first off, these are petitions that went around to the people.
Yes.
There's two of them, and they were quite different. There was a commission put together by the board, by us Board of Commissioners, to look into charter change. And they worked at it for almost 2 years, I'm going to guess, and they came out with two different deals. One of them, it was a pink one and a green one, or if you want to just simplify it. And those petitions went out to get signatures. And one of them was successful to get the right amount of signatures to put it on. The other one is still, you can still sign that other petition, because if they get that, then they'll both be on there. But these are citizen-driven. We're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't, you know, I can say one way or the other what I want to do, and I did sign one of them. I signed one of them because I thought it needed to go to the people. That doesn't mean that I'm for it or against it, just like any other petition. I think it's important enough to take it to the people, and it'll go to the people. It's hard to get the charter changed because there's a lot of change in both of those concepts. So just read them over and see. If you don't want, there's a none of the above, and leave it the way it is.
All right. Herman, any thoughts?
You know, I inquired. I know some people that have served on five-member part-time or volunteer commissioners positions, and first of all, I don't think Josephine County is big enough. That's number one, mm-hmm. for a county manager. Number two is it depends who you get for a county manager. I struggle with the thought of somebody having that much power and latitude in making decisions that is not subject to the voter. Okay, so I struggle with that. And if you have a weak commission to rein that individual in, it turns more into a, I don't know, dictatorship of some sort.
I saw you struggling for that word.
Well, it is, because all of a sudden a lot of decisions that should be made by the commissioners are made, you know, unilaterally by an individual that's not subject to the voters. Plus, if you look at, you know, county or city managers are kind of like that. Look at the trouble and the money, and then they go to fire them, and they got a contract, and now they got to pay them $2 million. And then, so because Josephine County only has 87,000 people, which is a good thing, that's why I live here, I just don't think there's that need.
Yeah, all right. John, you want to weigh in on this?
So I have a little different take on it. So the people needs to remember, when you vote for your county commissioner, you're only going to vote for two. You don't get a vote for five. You get a vote for the at-large,
mm-hmm.
and you get a vote for the commissioner in your district. That's it. So therefore, your vote is already trumped to what you wanted. If the other three people gets voted in and you don't like any of them and don't think that they're the right person for the job, oh, well, it's too bad. Because you're the only two that you voted for. That's all you get. So I have a problem with that. And when you make it part time, those people, are they really truly committed? I'm not saying they're not. I have to wonder, are they really truly committed for the job, or are they? What is the purpose when it's part time? And yeah, you have one full time commissioner. But is that one full-time commissioner, given they say it's not going to have more power than the other four, but they're there full-time, so are they making decisions without the board? You know, I've had different people say, well, you know, those commissioners don't even have to come in for meetings because they only represent, say, Williams or Illinois Valley, so they don't even have to come in. They don't even need an office. So does that mean that those commissioners in those districts don't represent all of Josephine County? I mean, so there's a lot of problems here. And I think when the voters see these things that we're talking about right here, they're going to go, oh, well, we're not getting true representation then by five people, because that's not the way it's designed. And then a county manager will probably cost you somewhere in the realms of $500,000 or more. And unless you want to hire Mickey Mouse that just has power that you're not planning on paying that person anything, then I think it's a train wreck.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Let me ask you for just a little bit of clarification, because I'm really not that familiar with these two options that are going to be presented, or one that is going to be presented, the other that could be. You said that there would only be one full-time commissioner, four part-time. and a county manager. Did I understand that correctly?
That's my understanding.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure that we had that out there because I wasn't sure that that was the case. Any other thoughts on this one?
Well, it also that particular one that wants the five commissioners, also in that is they want to continue with Josephine County being a agency of the state. And so we are in some respects an agency of the state, but we also are a home rule county. So that gives us a little more independence from the state to a certain point, of course. And so because they want to continue with being an agency of the state, I don't think that's real good. They also want to change the county attorney to be appointed instead of elected. So there again, you're taking power away from the voters, and I don't care much for that. So those are just some of the differences. There's some political aspirations, obviously, by these two initiatives, and we'll just see where it goes. But I am opposed to it for those reasons. If you look at Jackson County right now, they have a county manager. Ask one of the commissioners, what would it take to fire that county manager? Because of the contract they have with him, it'll take a lot.
Another way you can kind of look at this, you can look at the city of Grants Pass that has four wards. And those four wards, you get representation from the Southwest.
I've got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Southwest, Northwest, so on and so forth. Right now, your representation with us three here, you have two guys from Fort Vinoy and one guy from the city that everybody says, I shouldn't be able to be a county commissioner because I don't live in the county, I live in the city. So that's why we have it right now. But you know what? I think it works pretty good.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. If you have questions, hold them, because we'll open the phone lines right after the top of the hour news. That's coming up after these important messages.
If you're looking...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll open the phone lines. If you have a question or comment for the county commissioners today, the number to call is 541-472-1270. Once you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment on live. As a matter of fact, we just had a call come in right now, so let's just go straight to the phones this morning and say good morning. You have a question or comment for our guests?
Well, I'd welcome a comment from any of the commissioners. However, this is not a question. It's more of a statement of opinion. Now, as far as the fire district is concerned, to me, that sounds like more government, and I don't want government involved in any more taxing abilities than they already have. And I can give you a few reasons for my thinking. Number one is you said that the fire district might end up costing less than a subscription fire. And maybe that's true and maybe it isn't. Personally, I think even if it's true, that's only under the first, excuse me, contract, whatever that might be, a year, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever. But I believe ultimately anything that's going to be controlled by the government is eventually going to cost more because I don't think they can operate as efficiently or will make an effort to operate as efficiently as a subscription would. And I think eventually what would happen is that under the district there would be more pension, more vacation, more health, more this, more that, more everything, which would end up costing the tax rate to go up even further. I had a couple of more reasons, and now they've left my head. So I'm going to just let the commissioners comment if they wish, or at any rate, I got this off my chest, so I feel better.
Well, we're glad you feel better, sir. Thank you very much for your call. We do appreciate it. All right. Any comment, commissioners?
Well, I think those are some pretty prudent observations. And so I don't disagree with them at all. You can go back to the premise was, when was the last time you've seen taxes or rates or assessments go down?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Dad, you want to jump in on this one?
And I agree with the gentleman because just about anything could happen. You know, the only thing is a fire district would have its own board of directors that are voted on by the people, and they were the ones that make the decision on the amount, the rate, and the level of service. But there's one thing that's going to come about at some point in time, and that's your insurance company. We're already seeing that here in our valley, that you don't have fire insurance because of. And they list a list of it. Now, a good friend of mine built a house out in the Williams area. And even though he's there, his insurance company, because of the cost of the house, they said, man, we got to look to a whole different market on your home. And so insurance companies really are going to have a way in. And if you don't have that, some sort of coverage somehow, you're probably going to pay the point in the insurance premium if they will insure you. So that's just something to keep an eye on the back of your mind.
All right. John, do you want to weigh in on this one too?
So I appreciate that voter's comment. And, to me, I look at it, he's got a subscription, and for the most part, there's no guarantee that a property tax will be less. And one thing about the property tax is if you don't pay it, your house goes away. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line, if you don't pay your property taxes, it will, you know, wear a subscription. If you don't pay it, you still get to keep your house. And so as far as the fire department or the insurance companies, they have a measure through subscription. So, you know, they're able to show I have fire coverage. And so, you know, I think there's a lot for the citizens to digest. And I'm not under the premises that a property tax measure is going to be cheaper, because it wasn't for me on the original one. It was going to raise mine by almost three times. So I'm not going to sit and say that it's going to work out cheaper for you.
All right.
So last week we had a meeting with Associated Oregon Counties, and in that meeting we had the director of DCBS who regulates insurance in the state of Oregon, and he referred to the increase in homeowners insurance in Oregon will probably at some point most likely be because of the risk of wildfire and where you live in that area. So that's why that wildfire map that will be coming out again is really important, because it could put you in the future, the insurance companies can say, you know, you live in a pretty high risk area and we're going to have to. So back to insurance rates, I think I'm more concerned that homeowners insurance are going to go up, not because if you have structure protection or not, is because where you live in the county.
Okay. During that last caller's comments, just one thing kept running through my head. Go back and quote President Reagan, and he said, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." We'll be right back.
Mid-row.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress here. County Commissioners in studio is our guest today, and we thank them very much for their time and you for yours this morning as we continue here in the last 16, 17 minutes of our program today. And we've covered lots of topics already, but you have a business meeting coming up tomorrow morning. Just looking at the agenda, there is a first reading of an ordinance amending the Josephine County Code. And that's about 70 pages long in what you're reading here. But this is just basically housekeeping, isn't it? Can you outline to me what we're really looking at tomorrow morning meeting?
Well, it is housekeeping, but it's serious stuff. So what it is it's actually building codes and codes dealing with planning and properties that were passed by the legislature, and now we have to take those statutes and incorporate them in our local codes. And we have to do that by statute. So this is a couple years now that we've been behind. We haven't incorporated those into our codes. And I encourage people to read them, because there's some I don't agree with, but by statute we have to incorporate them. But the legislature is way out of hand on some of this stuff. So anyways, that's what that's all about. It's something, it is housekeeping. It's something we have to do. but don't want to do it.
People should be aware of it. We have no choice.
And what we've done is just basically take all the state requirements that it's okay, you've got to do this. And we just went through to see what, you know, we could soften the blow anywhere. And that's the changes we're making. It's just something that's absolutely that we can't get out of. We're trying to keep this thing so that it's Josephine County, not the state of Oregon, if that's a good way to put it.
All right. I've got all 70 pages here. I look at it, my eyes crossed. So
that's why you don't want to be an agency of the state.
Yes. All right. Okay. You also have a presentation coming in tomorrow morning about, from the American Mining Research Incorporated to, I think, renew a mineral lease. Is that accurate? Can you explain to me what we're looking at here?
Yes, they're going to give us their presentation on why they should be able to continue doing mineral
exploration
on county property. So that's what that's about.
All right. And they've had this for, 3 years already?
That's correct.
And they report every quarter?
That's correct.
Okay. And what have they found so far? Is it anything that's benefiting the county?
That's the question.
That's what we'll find out in their presentation tomorrow.
Right.
All right. What have we seen in their past presentations if it's coming along every quarter?
Nothing.
All right.
And they're going to use COVID-19, to say we weren't able to get up there and work because of COVID-19. That's why we need an extension. And we're going to hear about it tomorrow. It'll be in public meeting. So.
All right. Well, that's, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, the Angie Bastor Auditorium. And of course, there'll be public comment there also. All right, gentlemen, what are you hearing from your constituency these days about something that we haven't talked about? What are you most concerned about?
You know, mostly inflation. People are really starting, inflation, there's always lag time with inflation. And now we're out of that lag time. And if you start looking at some national numbers and, being the former vice chair of revenue in the Senate, I'm always looking at this stuff. But we have some of the highest personal credit card debt than we've ever had. And I suspect that's because people are supplementing their income with their credit cards. So I hear inflation all the time and how much things cost. And I was looking at some projections on oil. $150 a barrel oil in 3 years?
It's right at 90 this morning, maybe a little more, 92.
Anybody want to buy a full-size Dodge truck? It's for sale as of today.
Well, that's where inflation began, wasn't it? Just as soon as Mr. Biden pulled a plug on the oil companies, suddenly everything is delivered by fossil fuel trucks.
That's correct.
By anything. And basically what it amounted to is we've had people in the administration that were selling our natural resources in order to pay the national debt. And then we have people right now that are drawing in our horns on national resources, and the debt keeps getting larger. So why are they doing that? That's a question you need to ask yourself.
It's what a lot of people are asking themselves in Washington, D.C. right now as we battle towards a government shutdown. And that's always intrigued me, that government shutdown.
Yeah, maybe that'd be the best way to go.
Well,
I don't know.
At least they can't do anything bad during that time frame. So what else is on your agenda right now individually here?
Well, a couple things that, I got about a year left, and two goals is to finally get rid of the Demick property, which we have it in escrow, and I think that'll get done in this. And the second big goal is – actually, I have three. The second big goal is to get the Flying Lark out of our hair and on its way to building something great out at the fairgrounds. And the third thing is to kind of, we're still got a few loose ends on the Sportsman's Park out there. We're getting real close. We had to do that property swap because we took a grant for $11,000 for the bathrooms 30 years ago. And so that tied up that whole property. But we've pretty much got that under control, and we're working towards that. But I'll tell you, Chuck, the process is so slow. It drives you crazy. But so those are the kind of three things that and the share funding. So there's four. That share funding is so important. I think it's hard for people to comprehend that the September receipts that we enjoyed has paid for the law enforcement district, and now that's gone. And we've got to figure out some other funding source, and this law enforcement district is probably our best shot at funding our sheriff's department. So those are kind of the four things, and I got about a year and, 3 months to do that in.
All right. Well, that just brought up my next question. At the end of that year and 3 months, what is going to happen with Mr. Herman Bartschiger?
Who knows? I'm like a newborn duck. I wake up in a new world every day.
Okay. So you're not going to give us a commitment one way or the other then?
I'm not in a position to say anything right now.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Or that I want to say anything right now.
Year and 3 months, we'll mark that on the calendar, and we'll be back to ask that question again.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. John West, what are your people telling you?
So 110. 110 is one of the biggest topics in Josephine County. They want to see it repealed in the state. So the commissioners, we've been working on that, a letter in support with other counties to repeal it. But we've also got our 110 ordinance that we did our first reading on. This is a step in the right direction, regardless of what the city talks about. It's playing politics. It's not playing politics. They're playing politics, not the county commissioners. We're serious about this. We're serious about cleaning up the county and the drugs the best we can. And so that's a big movement, and the citizens are thrilled that we're making that in stride. You're going to see the new signage go up in the county right-of-ways, and for the vehicle parking that's not supposed to be there, that are people that are parking their junk and their garbage and dilapidated vehicles that don't run. All that's getting ready to go into motion. So we're making big strides there, and the people, you know, they've come to us. They've expressed that, and we're on it, and they're going to see a difference. And Wolf Creek's going to see a huge difference on Edgewood Lane and all over Merlin, different areas. We're making a stance, and we listen to the citizens, and we're moving full bore. So
we had Sheriff Daniel in here last Tuesday, as a matter of fact, talking about 110. What are the counties going to change about 110? What can we do? What can we institute in addition to what is already on the books?
So our ordinance is going to give us a bigger bite. It's not just a citation. It you get with a trespass, and then it has measures in it. So many times you just get a citation and everybody laughs at it. They just throw it in the garbage and walk away. Ours has more bite to it than that. And so we're just taking a stance. We're taking a legal stance. Hopefully that we've figured out a path that the governor can't come in and override it. And then hopefully the governor hears from all these counties and says, okay, you know, I'm the worst governor in the United States. I need to change that motto. So maybe I need to listen to the county. So,
all right. I doubt she's listening, but just in case.
So the ordinance, basically, in a nutshell, what it does is it criminalizes the consumption of illegal narcotics and drugs in public places.
All right. So good.
With the exception of the city, because the city opted out. So this is only in the county. The city, it'll be perfectly fine to consume illegal drugs in the public places inside the city, but it will not in the county.
All right. Dan, you want to weigh in on this? What are your constituents telling you?
I'm in full agreement listening to my colleagues here on that 110. You know, you've got to have your head pretty far in the sand, to not know that a good portion of our homeless population started because of drug abuse. And then 110 comes along and says it's perfectly legal to do whatever you want with those three criminalized drugs, and they decriminalize it. What kind of populace are you going to attract here? You just think about that. And then it's the city of Grants Pass, and well, they're just doing that because it's a political move. Well, it's a political move, I think, that the citizens are in favor of. And when you don't do something, that's also a political move that I don't think is very popular around here. So I'm not going to get in a match with any kind of anybody on the city side. But we'll just see how it works out in the city versus how it works out in the county. Okay?
Well, there are... do we have any updates on what is going on with the legislature in terms of modifying Measure 110? Because I know there was a movement before they adjourned. Do we know where that stands?
I have no idea. That would be in Herman's wheelhouse because he keeps an eye on Salem.
All right, let's look into your wheelhouse here.
So there's a group of people in the state that are starting the initiative process to repeal 110. So that's kind of where it's at. The legislature's not going to touch it.
Right, so
they don't have the votes.
It would have to be repealed then, rather than modified, as we heard earlier.
Right, and so through the initiative process, and they got quite a war chest already built up. So it's a pretty impressive effort so far.
Right, well, that's one that we'll be keeping an eye on. All right,
okay, I get to have my three wish lists, right?
Yeah,
okay,
go, Dan.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what the gentleman say. There's another one on there that I think is very important. It has to do with also with the Dimmick property. We have some of our offices up there, and if we sell the Dimmick property, they either rent back or we have to find a place to move them. If you want to look at this thing in the long run, there is a possibility, and it's something that might have to have a conversation long after Herman and I are gone, John might fall under John's watch, is consolidating all the county offices and all of county functions all under one roof and basically building a new admin building. Vacating the courthouse so the courts can have the whole courthouse, and we just move off property and put everything under one. Right now, if you're going to get a building permit, you're back and forth across the river and out to Public Works, and then you're in the Dimmick, and then you're downtown, and so on and so forth. And I think that's pretty contentious. That's hard to deal with. The Flying Lark, of course, Herman and I both want that to work sooner rather than later. And that way, you know, those are things that will help fund the county. Both the Dimmick and the Flying Lark will help fund various parts of the county. I noticed that the letter to the editor said, well, we'll take that money and we'll. No, you won't. There's rules and regulations as to where that needs to go.
All right. Once again, I heard someone alluding to when Herman and I are both gone. Do you have any information for us there, or do you making an announcement now yet, or...?
I sang her happy birthday to myself yesterday. It's 74 years old, and when am I supposed to put down the yoke and start enjoying myself? But yeah, I don't know. I'm still – the jury's out. I have a lot of people that say, are you going to run again? And a lot of people say, you shouldn't run again, and so on and so forth. So there's still – I think we have, Herman, until March to – you know, if Herman or myself, both of us decide, you know what, we don't really like the slate, and we want to go at it again. That's our choice, and we don't have to do that until March.
All right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. I've got 30 seconds. If someone has one final thought they'd like to get out there.
Yeah, it was brought up by one person at the meeting. They didn't know where I was at the fire meeting the other day. I was at a veterans suicide prevention event with the I'm liaison to that. It was a fun event. I'm going to tell you that because it was a lot of fun. But I was unable to attend. I didn't get home until 9 o'clock myself that night.
All right, thank you very much. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270.
Welcome to the Grover Comment Line. Feedback from Grover.